next week, we will start a new message series. Much of 2026, you're going to be hearing about what the Strategy 2030 team has been working on. It's going to be a core conversation in 2026, starting next week. In my message series, I'm going to walk us through in five parts in this series. We'll look at five key questions that lead us forward as a church, that will shape our future and shape our vision as a church. The series is called A Blueprint for the Future. So I'm going to give you biblical foundations for what Strategy 2030 has been working on and what we will be rolling out. It's a bright, exciting future to serve God through the ministries of First Baptist Church and to see what God is doing. It's always exciting to look toward the future. And we want to have a focus as a church. We want to be healthy as a church. We want to prepare for that as a church in the days ahead. So I'm looking forward to that. I know that Pastor Kevin shared with you last Sunday that it was Saturday night, around about 9:15. I texted him and said, you know, I'm not getting better. I'm just getting worse. Now, actually, I've been dealing with some kind of illness and issues for actually since Thanksgiving. And it'll ebb and flow and pull back and then, but not resolve. And then last Friday, Thursday night, Friday, it decided to come back with a vengeance. Now, like many of you, I thought, I'll be ready for Sunday. I'm doing fine. I'm not sick. I'm not sick. I'm sick. So I waited literally as long as I could to give Pastor Kevin a heads up, text him at 9 o'clock. Again, he and I communicated 6 o'clock Sunday morning. Because sometimes you want to, you know something's not right. You know maybe you're sick and you're not doing well, but you think, you keep telling yourself, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay, until you know you're not. It parallels the way we treat our spiritual lives as well and our spiritual health. Because a lot of times we are lacking in spiritual health or even experiencing spiritual infections of some kind. And we keep telling ourselves, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay. And then we realize we're not. There's something wrong in our walk with Christ. There's something wrong in our spiritual condition. And when the time comes, we realize that we have to address it. Here on the front end of 2026, ask and answer the question, how are you doing spiritually? Going into a brand new year, is your walk with Christ solid? Believer, are you doing well in your walk with Christ? Healthy in your walk with Christ? Or has there been a long sickness that's been creeping up on you? And maybe you've been drifting in that direction. Maybe it's just been infecting you a little at a time. And you've been telling yourself, everything's okay. Everything's okay. Everything's okay. But you know it's not. You know it's not. This morning we're going to zero in on one of the symptoms that we need to diagnose if we're not okay with God. It's the symptom of complacency or apathy. It's the symptom of taking God for granted. Assuming everything's fine because it used to be, when in fact it's not. If you have your Bible with you, find with me the Old Testament book of Isaiah chapter 43 and turn there with me for a minute. And we're going to spend a few minutes this morning diagnosing our spiritual condition, particularly the symptom of taking God for granted. And if God starts showing you this morning that yes, in fact, you have drifted into complacency, you're taking God for granted, but all along you've been thinking it's fine, it's fine, it's fine. Well, this morning you're going to know it's not. And it's time to do something about that. So you can go into a brand new year, a fresh start, healthy in your walk with Christ. Isaiah chapter 43 is an extraordinary chapter. And I invite you to go home tonight and to read the whole chapter. Because through the prophet Isaiah, God is speaking to the people of God. And he's reminding them of a hopeful future. One of my favorite verses in all of the Bible show up in Isaiah 43, 18 and 19, where God says he will make a way in the desert. He'll provide streams in the desert and in the wilderness. It's a wonderful passage. And God pictures hope for the people. He shows them that even though there's been a long exile and captivity, there is hope going forward. So as the people of God, there is great hope. But then God turns to them individually. And he said, you need to take an inventory of your personal spiritual condition. And what God's doing is he's applying a basic principle that we have as the people of God, that we are only as healthy spiritually, we're only as healthy corporately as we are individually. And if something's wrong in your walk with Christ, if there's a spiritual illness that's been creeping up, and you keep saying, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's not just impacting you, it's impacting the body of Christ, it's impacting the people around you, it's impacting your ability to lead, to learn, to disciple, to grow, to serve Christ where he wants you to serve. So God says there's a bright picture before us. And folks, in 2026, we're going to hear God saying that to us. There's a bright picture before you, First Baptist Church. God has great things in store for us in the days ahead. And then right now, God says, but take a look at yourself. How are you doing in your walk with Christ? And in particular, does he want to diagnose the illness of taking God for granted? Assuming, because in the past you've had a good relationship with God, it's fine now. Because in the past you've had a healthy relationship with God, it's fine now. But the truth is, you're taking God for granted. Isaiah chapter 43, we're going to pick up at verse 22. Through the prophet Isaiah, God says, but Jacob, you have not called on me, because Israel, you have become weary of me. You have not brought me your sheep for burnt offerings or honored me with your sacrifices. I have not burdened you with offerings or wearied you with incense. You have not bought me aromatic cane with silver or satisfied me with the fat of your sacrifices. But you have burdened me with your sins. You have wearied me with your iniquities. I am the one. I sweep away your transgressions for my own sake and remember your sins no more. Verse 22 sets up the problem. But Jacob, you have not called on me, because Israel, you have become weary of me. You have become weary of me. Translates a phrase that literally means, people of God, you become sleepy, complacent. There's a saying that familiarity breeds contempt. That's another way to put what God's talking about. We can become so familiar with God that we take God for granted. And we see it occasionally in the culture of Christianity, when we're all the time singing and praising God, which is awesome, which is great, but occasionally we just find ourselves talking about Jesus like he's our buddy, he's our pal. And we forget that he's God. Now, Jesus did say, I call you friend, but that came after the acknowledgement that he is God, the great I am. And the sad truth is, sometimes we get so familiar with God, or so familiar with the things of church, or so familiar with being part of the body of Christ, we forget who God is. We just take for granted the God who loves us, the Jesus who died for us. We take him for granted. It doesn't always come quickly. Sometimes it comes slowly, but it does happen sometimes. And so we need to diagnose that this morning. You know, a good parallel to what we're talking about for married couples, dating couples, engaged couples, you, especially when you get married, you know, you go on the honeymoon, and the first 2 years, it's all honeymoon. Then familiarity sets in. He leaves the toothpaste open. Why does he do that? Why doesn't he see the trash and need to take out the trash? Why does she leave her stuff hanging in the shower like that? And then familiarity sets in. And it doesn't mean you don't love one another, But if you're not careful, what starts to happen is from familiarity, you go to complacency and you go to taking one another for granted. That's the reason you have to acknowledge and rekindle and refresh that relationship. Keep it active. Keep it alive. Keep talking to each other. Laugh together. Walk through life together. And your relationship with Christ somewhat parallels that in that a lot of times when people get saved, especially as adults, they start off passionate. They start off excited, and that's a good thing. They're connected to Christ, and they recognize his lavish grace, and they're grateful for what God has done for them. And then as time goes on, they become more and more familiar with the things of God and with God himself, and familiarity turns to complacency and turns to eventually just taking God for granted. How do you know if you're doing that? Well, that's what we're going to do for a few minutes. We're going to diagnose the problem. I'm going to give you three indicators, three signs from Isaiah, from this passage, that'll help you know if right now, as you go into 2026, you want to face the fact, you need to face the fact that you're taking God for granted, and today's the day to turn that corner, to refresh that relationship, to do something about it now. Three indicators or signs that you might be taking God for granted. First, you might be taking God for granted if prayer has become irrelevant. Prayer has become irrelevant. Now notice, this means you don't forget. It's not that you forget to pray, it's that you don't think you need to pray. Look back at verse 22. But Jacob, you have not called on me, because Israel, you have become weary of me. God says this is actually the very first indicator, the very first sign that they are taking God for granted is they are not calling on him. That is, they are not crying out to him for guidance, for direction, for help, for repentance, for forgiveness. They're not praying to him fervently as he is their God. The phrase is very literally, Jacob, not on me did you call. It implies that they are putting their trust other places. And that's what happens. When you think in your mind you no longer need to pray, what starts happening is that rather than dependence on God, you drift into self-sufficiency. And your attitude becomes, God, I'll let you know if I need you. I'm doing great. I can make decisions on my own. I've got my own agenda. Everything's working well. Well, God, I'll let you know if I need you. And God says, that's the problem. Not on me did you call. Instead, you depended on you. You depended on the culture. You depended on talk shows, on blogs, on Facebook interaction. Not on me did you call. You called on other people before you came to me. This is a problem. The very core of a healthy relationship with your God is communication, conversation. Instead of saying, God, I've got my agenda, I'll let me know if I need you, is saying every day, God, what is your agenda for me? You are my Lord. Where am I going today? Who am I interacting with? I want my eyes open. It's living inside the assumption that God is at work in your day, in your life, and has plans for you. This is not an arbitrary, random day. This is God's day to use you. Connect with him. Find out what he's got in mind as you serve a majestic and great God. See the difference? We take God for granted when we assume we don't need to communicate with God. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. Everything's fine until it's not. Then all of a sudden, we're blaming God. Why is everything going like this, God? Why didn't that relationship go well? Why did that happen in my finances? Why can't I handle this? Why can't I do that? Why didn't I get that job? God, why don't you love me? Wait a minute. You haven't talked to God in 3 months. And now you want to blame him for everything going wrong in your life. You haven't been with your master. You haven't submitted to your Savior. Surrendered in prayer. Let him love on you in that conversation. Now the good news is, this is the way we operate, isn't it? The good news is, when you come to God in that crisis moment, God does listen to you, interacts with you, shows you in your heart and your mind what you need to change. That's your opportunity to stop taking God for granted, to start realizing prayer is no longer, is not irrelevant, it's very relevant to your walk with Christ. It's the reason the Apostle Paul says, pray without ceasing. He doesn't mean by that mumble all day long. What he means by that is live in an environment of conversation and intimacy with your God. Everything in your life happens with your God, in relationship with your God. Many of you know, most of you know, I'm the youngest of three sons. And I'm blessed to say that my two older brothers and I have always had good relationships. Even back in those days when we were beating each other up, we still loved each other. And that was, what, Thursday, week ago? No, I'm just kidding. But we've always had a good relationship. I'm delighted to say they both love the Lord. They're believers. It's interesting, though, over the years, we've had a pretty much what I would call a common, customary sibling relationship. We talk, we send each other cards, we connect, we happy birthday, Merry Christmas, see each other on those holidays when we can, and so forth. Then something extraordinary happened last April. My mother fell, fractured her hip, went into the hospital. From the hospital, went to rehab, from rehab, back to the hospital, then to hospice, and on May 19th, went home to be with the Lord. As soon as that started to transpire, my brothers and I began engaging more and more and more. And through the summer, not all six of us, my brothers and our sisters-in-law and Kim, we all texted together, we called one another. We were talking from April through the end of the summer three, four, five times a day in some capacity, communicating with each other. Then by the end of the summer, we were wrapping up things related to her estate in Winston-Salem and other matters, sort of coming out the end of that intense time. And it kind of went quiet again. Have you ever had something like that happen? And we all realized it at the same time. Not, we didn't say anything to each other about it, but we realized it because now and then, how you doing? Can I talk to you? And we talk 20, 30 minutes, laugh together, remember things my mom said and did, talk about seeing each other next time. It's interesting, we went from customary to focused. We've always loved each other, but now it's like we really need each other. You ever been through something like that? And now we're focused on that relationship. Talking a lot. See, a lot of times, believers, your relationship with God and your prayer life is customary. You may consider yourself a believer who prays frequently. Pray at the table. Pray before dinner. Might have a quiet time in the morning. Then something hits in your life and you ramp up that prayer time. You find yourself talking to God all the time. You're seeking God to talk to you. You bring your tears to Him. You bring your struggles to Him. And when you come out of that time, you have an opportunity. You have a decision to make. Do you go back to the customary, or do you realize that now's the time to grow and develop in that relationship? That it could be you were taking God for granted when in fact He's been there all the time. When Paul says, pray without ceasing, he's talking about the exact opposite of customary. God's in your life. Communicate with Him. Love on Him. Let Him love on you. A key indicator that you're taking God for granted is that you have this attitude. God, I'm fine. I'll let you know if I need you. A key indicator you're taking God for granted is not so much that you forget to pray, is that you think it's irrelevant. I don't need to do that. I've got everything under control. A key indicator you might be moving in the direction of taking God for granted is that your prayer life remains customary and it's not growing in relationship. Catch yourself there. Let God diagnose you a little bit. Because the first sign you're taking God for granted is always, according to God Himself, that prayer becomes irrelevant. Secondly, worship becomes a ritual. Worship becomes a ritual. Did you notice how much of the passage pertains to the sacrificial system and the sacrifices and God talking about that? And you say, well, we don't do that. Well, actually, the point of the sacrificial system was access to God. It was relationship with God. It was obedience to God. Giving the sacrifices and having the incense and doing the things God told the people of God to do was an expression of their relationship with Him. It was a way for them to represent that relationship. And what God is saying is, you have become so accustomed to me, you're taking me for granted so much now, that rather that the ritual of it has become an end in itself. What represents the relationship is now your religion. It's your ritual. You know, rituals, of course, are not in and of themselves bad at all if they're expressions of a right relationship with God. Baptism is a kind of ritual. Baptism is an illustration, an expression of a right relationship with God. The person being baptized says, now I am in right relationship with God, and I'm going to serve Christ in resurrection life going forward. Every one of you have been baptized, you do that as well. We have other rituals we participate in. We stand when we sing. We bow when we pray. We give our tithes and offerings. When we share in the Lord's Supper, that's a very obvious type of ritual that expresses our faith. None of that is a problem. The problem is when the ritual becomes the relationship, becomes a substitute for, instead of a representation or an expression of your relationship, it becomes a substitute for that relationship. You aren't participating in any heartfelt way. You're just going through the motions. And your worship has become the ritual. Let God diagnose that for just a minute. If you find yourself coming to church, if you find yourself participating in church, in worship, in doing these things, and the things that you do, even maybe your morning quiet time. Now you do this and your heart's not in it. You're just going through the motions. You're thinking in your head, I just want to get on with my day. There's a very good chance you're taking God for granted. And now it shows in the way that your worship has been overtaken by the ritual itself. Worship arises from gratitude. Worship is an expression of our heartfelt obedience to God, our gratitude to God. The rituals are not the worship. The heart of the person is worshiping, and the actions and the rituals are expressions of that worship. But there's no substitute for it. And let God show you, if you have been substituting the ritual for the worship, you're taking God for granted. Taking God for granted. But then third, and this zeroes in on that gratitude, along with the taking God for granted, along with the indicator that prayer has become irrelevant, that worship has become a ritual. Third, grace has become routine. Grace has become routine. Now, to put it another way, when we talk about grace, God's lavish grace, God's saving grace, your response is, oh, okay, yeah. That's routine. We talk about it all the time. This is a primary key indicator that you have forgotten who God is. And you have forgotten what God is all about. You have forgotten what He has done for you. And you are taking for granted who God is. Look back at verse 24. God says, but you have burdened me with your sins. You have wearied me with your iniquities. Now, focus on verse 25. God says, I am the one. I sweep away your transgressions for my own sake and remember your sins no more. I am the one that did that, God says. I am the reason that you are part of the people of God. I am the reason that you have access to me, God says. I am the reason. I am the one that made salvation available for you. I am the one. And God says, I am the one that showed you such grace that I sweep away your iniquities. This is a very graphic term and a very assertive term. It could also be translated, I clean up clearly, or I even destroy your iniquities and your sins. I am the one that did that for you. And notice why, God says. Does God say it's because you're so good? You're so awesome? Keep doing what you're doing. Everything's fine? No, he says, I do that for my sake. I do that. I save you. I show you grace. I clean up your condition, your iniquities, and forgive your sin. I sent Christ to the cross because of who I am. This is who I am, God says. It's my nature. It is my nature to offer you salvation and cleansing of sin and grace. True worship is connected to his lavish grace. Show me the believer taking God for granted, and I'll show you the believer that's forgotten what grace is about. That grace has become ho-hum and routine. Show me the believer that worships God from the heart, and I'll show you the believer that really understands God's undeserved grace. Because that's who God is. So let God look into your life a little bit this morning. Maybe he's already doing it. Let God diagnose your condition a little bit this morning. Maybe he's already doing it. And maybe you find, in fact, that you have taken God for granted, that you're going through life and doing what you want to do, and if you need him, you might call out to him. But otherwise, hey, God, I'm fine. I'll let you know if I need you. And maybe you find that worship has become ritual for you, that it's just doing church, that it's going through the motions, that somewhere along the way, that gratitude leaked out. And it's time to say, God, forgive me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation that I might worship you. And maybe you realize you've forgotten what God did for you when he saved you. You forgot the grace of God in Christ, the cost. And that he did that for you because of who he is. He loves you that much. That he sent Christ to the cross, his son, to die on the cross for you. In December, Rob Reiner was tragically killed along with his wife, Michelle. Not surprisingly, right away on the news and on many channels, they talked about his movie career, especially the movies that he wrote and directed, the comedies along the way, including When Harry Met Sally. And Harry Met Sally has an interesting ending on New Year's Eve. And this is a good thing to remember on this New Year's as we go into a brand new year. The story is that these two people, Harry and Sally, interact over the course of several years in their lives. They keep coming into each other's lives and they develop a friendship, but it's kind of a rocky, kind of a love-hate relationship along the way. And then they end up again on New Year's Eve at a New Year's Eve party, and Harry finally confesses his love to Sally, and really an extraordinarily well-written scene. I don't recommend the movie, but I like that scene. Now, what you may not know is that ending was not the original ending of When Harry Met Sally. See, when Rob Reiner and Nora Ephron wrote and prepared the movie When Harry Met Sally, and when Rob Reiner developed it, he was actually going through a really difficult time in his life, a terrible time with his first divorce and going through an awful season of life. And the original ending of When Harry Met Sally would segue with the whole movie in that one more time, Harry and Sally would meet up on the street. They would just randomly bump into each other. They would exchange pleasantries. They would laugh a little bit. And the film would end with them walking away, letting the viewer know they would never be together. But when Rob Reiner was in production for the movie When Harry Met Sally, when it was actually underway, he met Michelle. And he and Michelle fell in love, and he and Michelle eventually, of course, as you know, got married. Michelle was his wife, who was also tragically killed. And as they were falling in love, and as he was experiencing that fresh passion and that new love relationship, he sat down with Nora Ephron, and they rewrote the ending of When Harry Met Sally, so that instead of ending with pleasantries and walking away, it would end with a glorious statement of love and a relationship that would last. God and God alone can rewrite the end of your story. Most of us, when we are in a relationship with Jesus, even for a long time, and we start to take him for granted, we might exchange pleasantries, but our intention is to go on about our way. Now, that's not God's intention at all. God's intention is for you to come back to him, to profess again, confess again, repent again of your sin, and let him love you again. Be reminded that God's grace is for eternity. His love for you is for eternity. Believer, you might be in this room and you realize this morning as God's diagnosed you, yep, you've been taking God for granted. It's time to come back. Stop passing him with pleasantries and show up, because your God is waiting on you. He loves you. He wants to change your life. And if you're in this room and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, the one who died on the cross for you, the only one who can save you and give you eternal life, God is the one that can rewrite your story. Maybe your story is sad. Maybe it's difficult. Maybe it's heartbreaking. Maybe in your mind it's been great so far. But apart from your God, it's not the story he intends for you. God wants you to come and repent of your sin and come to Christ. Your God waits for you. Your God waits for you. Wouldn't it be great to start 2026 starting over with your God, to embrace his story for you? Wouldn't it be great to confess to him, God, I know I've been taking you for granted. God, forgive me for that. Cleanse me of that. God, revive, refresh me as I go forward in Christ in 2026. Let that be today for you. Heavenly Father, we come to this point, God, early in the year. Everything's in front of us, Father. But God, we come personally to you, asking you diagnose our condition. How are we doing, Father? Forgive us, God, if we've been going along saying, I'm doing fine, I'm doing fine. And right now, God, we realize we're not. Forgive us, Father, if we have taken one step without calling on you for guidance, for help, for truth, for strength, for wisdom. God, forgive us for that. Forgive us, God, if we've permitted our worship to turn into ritual, if we have substituted the ups and the downs and the actions for heartfelt worship for our God. God, please forgive us for that. And most of all, God, forgive us if we have forgotten grace, if we've forgotten even for a moment, God, what you have done for us in Christ. God, how I pray you forgive us. And Father, we praise you and we thank you that you have done that for us. All we need to do is submit, surrender, and come to Christ. So I pray for us in this room and at home. God, if this is our turning point today, Father, how I pray we'd surrender to you today. We would confess our sin. We would look toward the future. We would embrace by faith Christ and our walk with Christ today. God, whatever you want to do in our lives, may we surrender that to you in faith. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.